supernatural God. He has supernatural power. He does supernatural things. And he loves you and he loves me. And he is delighted to do things for us. He loves it. But he wants us to have faith in him. It, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But we'll talk about that in a minute. And by the way, I'm not taking my time through these gifts of the Spirit. We're just going to hit some highlights so that everybody understands the fundamental and the basics that we build on. And so faith is one of the gifts. It's the third gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:9, I believe. Anyway, faith means confidence, trust, acceptance without tangible proof. Did you get that? Without tangible proof. Now we know that the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We do have evidence, but people don't understand that. People that don't have a real strong faith or belief in God, they don't understand that we understand things by faith that are more concrete, more stable than those who don't believe those things, like evolution or creation. Okay, so faith means confidence, trust, acceptance without tangible proof, reliance, commitment. Every child of God possesses saving faith and lives daily by faith. You can read Romans 1:16-17 to find that out. But let me read Romans 12:3-8. Romans 12:3-8. And faith is not some obscure subject in the Bible. Faith is a major subject in the Holy Bible. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And that's just what happens. In so many cases, when a person loses faith or doesn't have faith in God, they start thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to think. Hello? They think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Because if you don't have a God, you don't have anybody to answer to. And if you're an atheist, you create your own God. And that God is usually yourself. Yes, praise the Lord. So I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You have faith. God has given every man a measure of faith. Now you can reject that faith, you can deny it, or you can receive it, and you can grow upon it. He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Wouldn't that be awful if God showed mercy but not with cheerfulness? Oh, you again. I suppose I'll have to have mercy on you. No, God just does it cheerfully. And we should do it cheerfully. When somebody has wronged us or somebody has hurt us, we need to forgive them cheerfully and show mercy on them with cheerfulness. Okay, faith in its primary definition is, quote, that innate capacity within every man to believe in a supreme being. See, there is absolutely no excuse. Paul explains that in the book of Romans for not believing in creation and not believing in God. There's absolutely no excuse. It says they become wise in their own conceits. Okay. Should we read it a little bit? Let's just read it a little bit. Okay. Romans chapter 1, verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. See, God hath showed it, showed his existence, his creation. God hath showed this, or he hath shown this, the Bible says showed, to every man. But you know what happens? They take their glasses off. They put their hands over their eyes and say, I don't see it. Just like two neighbors. One is a Christian and a believer, and the other one wasn't a believer. This one neighbor had a child that the other neighbor felt sorry for, but this child was deformed in its body, born that way. And just a maybe 10, 12-year-old child. And this Christian people that had this deformed child took it somewhere and had it prayed for in a faith healing campaign. A lot of people don't believe in that. I do. I believe that there are men that are gifted and they just believe God. But anyway, the child was healed. Like say the man with the withered hand, it was healed. Or the man with a lame leg in the Bible, healed. And this believer was so excited, and she's trying to win this other neighbor to the Lord, and took that child over there and knocked on the door, and the lady said, okay, hello, come on in. She says, my baby's healed, or my child is healed. My child is healed. Just look. And the neighbor went, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. That's why some people don't believe in God. God hath showed it to them, but they have taken off their glasses. They have covered their eyes. They refuse to see it and believe it. Verse 16, no. Where were we? 19, yes. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. And when you get real educated, you don't even dimly see. You don't see at all. Unbelief blinds you. Unbelief blinds you. I remember when I witnessed to Brian Wiseman. And he said, well, I don't believe it. I said, well, believe it anyhow. He said, I don't believe it. I said, well, Jesus said in John 7:17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. I said, just do his will. Well, what's his will? I said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, kind of, well, okay, I'll try it. I said, don't you have anything to repent for? Don't you know that you've done anything wrong in your life? Oh, sure I have. I said, well, just start repenting and start listing all of those things and say, God, forgive me. I don't believe in God. Do it anyway. And he started repenting, and a lot of stuff came out, and he started believing in God, and of course, you know the rest of the story. He got saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, became a missionary, and died at age 43 from cancer. But God did a marvelous thing in that atheist's life. Amen. And I think that is absolutely marvelous. Then the next verse says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. Well, they have their excuses. They make their excuses. They can blame somebody else or something else or blame God. The God they don't believe in gets a lot of blame from them. Did you know that? And I have to check unbelievers every once in a while and just say, well, wait a minute, you don't believe in God. How come you're saying this? Well, if God's a God of love. I said, wait a minute, you don't believe in God. How can you say if God's a God of love? Okay, so, but I like to help people. I don't like to condemn people or knock people down. I like to lift them up. They are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, that's what Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. I don't know, I just happened to be listening to Dr. Laura in the car. Don't get to hear her much, just maybe a minute here and there. And when the and I listened to her, and she's an agnostic called in. Did anybody hear that? An agnostic called in. You know, I laughed. I started laughing in the car. She said, "Sir, why don't you just admit it? Why don't you just admit it? You're an atheist." "No, I'm not an atheist. I just don't know if there's a God." Well, then I tell them, well, then you're ignorant. If you're an agnostic, agnostic means ignorant. So you either believe in God or you don't. If you're an agnostic and you don't know whether there's a God or not, that makes you ignorant. You're ignorant. That's honestly, you look that up, and that's where the Greek word, that's where the word ignoramus comes from. That is incredible. So I'm not boasting, I'm just thankful that I believe that there's a God. And those things have crossed me over or to more light, leaving darkness behind, or jumping over what the world would tell us is the way it all happened. Because that when they knew God, they knew Him. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh my, my. That's a sad, sad place to be in. But anyway, faith, I said, in its primary definition, is that innate capacity, and everybody was born with it. Everybody has it. That innate capacity within every man to believe in a supreme being. You don't have to be taught that there's a God. You know what you have to be taught? You have to be taught that there is no God. Yes. We who have faith believe that we live in a world that we did not create. Let it sink a little. Just a little. Think of that. We who have faith believe that we live in a world we did not create. We who have faith understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen, sun, moon, stars, and all of that, were not made of things which do appear. Man boasts when he builds a house out of a forest. But he didn't create the forest. God made everything out of nothing. Nothing. Now hand a carpenter nothing and let him build a house. Give him nothing for a hammer and nothing for nails and nothing for wood, lumber, material. Give him nothing and see how much money you would make, Brother Reby. You'd make nothing. You said it. All right. But I think that's such a wonderful verse of Scripture, Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand. It doesn't say through faith we guess. It's through faith we understand. We understand creation. And the scientific atheist, he just can't figure that one out. But we understand. When faith comes, understanding comes. I always say, and I teach people this, young people and everybody have come to me and said, how do you study the Bible? How do you study? I said, okay. They say, I don't understand it. I said, the first thing you do when you read the Bible, if you're going to study the Bible, all you young people or older people, middle-aged people, whoever you are here tonight, if you're going to study the Bible, here's the way to study the Bible. This is the simplest and the best way to study the Bible that I have ever found. This is what I do. I read it and I say, I don't understand that. And then God says, do you believe it? And I say, yes, Lord, I believe it. It's not the understanding that comes first before you believe it. It's your believing it first, and then comes the understanding. Really? If you reject it, you'll never understand it. God will withhold it from you. Woo-hoo! Amen. Amen. I believe that. And that's the way I study the Bible, and I would recommend it to everybody. When you study the Bible, just read it and believe it. Understanding follows faith. We know that. We know that in John chapter 11. Jesus taught us that. Lazarus and his two sisters, they were not Lazarus, he was dead, but the sisters were saying, Let's turn to it and get it straight. John 11. Okay. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Verse 11. 11:11. Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taken of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Okay, and then we'll skip down a few verses here. Let's go down to verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which he came into the world. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay on it. Upon it, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. What comes first? Seeing or believing? Believing comes first. The world says, show me and I'll believe. God says, believe and I'll show you. Amen. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and a moment later he said, Lazarus, come forth, and guess what happened? Praise the Lord. I like that. So, the Bible says, we who have faith are pleasing to God, because 11:6 of Hebrews says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please God if you don't have faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why I don't have trouble witnessing. Because I don't go up to a man of another denomination and say, and we get into talk, and he says, well, what church are you? And then I say, what church are you? And he says, I'm this or that. I can say this, for most churches at least, I can pat him on the back, shake his hand, and say, well, God bless you. I've had people with me when I've been witnessing, and they have said, how can you say God bless you to a Lutheran sinner? Or a Catholic sinner? Or a Methodist sinner? Hey, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And I just say, God bless you. And I say, I just happen to know that your denomination believes in God, and that they read the Bible on the radio and they quote it in the newspaper. Okay? Hey, find people where they're at and lead them on. Don't find out where they're at. And if they're not as far as you are, stomp them into the ground. Don't do that. Find out where people are and lead them on to where you are. That's my way of witnessing, and I enjoy myself. Then you don't have to condemn anybody. You don't have to look down on anybody. You don't have to boast yourself. You don't have to lift yourself up with pride. You don't have to say, I'm better than they are. I know more than they do. But for the grace of God, that would be you anyway. Amen. Well, we need not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we who have faith are pleasing to God. Do you know that your faith is pleasing to God tonight? Really, your faith is pleasing to God. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's why people that don't have faith can't get saved. you got to let a little faith leak in and let it permeate your system and begin to grow in that faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists. And other religions believe that he exists, so give them credit for having at least part of Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then go on and say, hey, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Why don't we get down and pray and diligently seek him, and God will reward you. Sure. Hallelujah. Excite your faith. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's just read that, and let's learn some things about faith tonight. Now, I know we're talking about faith in general, and still we're talking about faith specifically. Maybe not the gift of the faith specifically, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a powerful statement. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, and without faith it's impossible to please God, and he pleased God. Okay, so he had faith. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Did you hear that? Of things not seen as yet. The earth was watered by dew from the ground, and evidently it hadn't rained yet on the earth but before the flood. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Isn't that something? He went out not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went. I can't get my wife in the car without knowing where we're going. That has nothing to do with her faith in God. That means she doesn't have faith in me. How many of you have wives that like to know where you're taking them? Hey, good for you. Good for you. Okay. For he looked for a city which hath foundations. What is this earth built on? We're right out here in space, aren't we? Now, he says, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Wow, I like that. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Too old to have a baby, but she had one, because she judged him faithful who had promised. We don't have to live on proof. We can live on promises when they're God's promises. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. He was too old to have babies or to reproduce. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sea which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God, and that's why God, is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. If you like it down here, you just have to stay. He says, I'm building one up there, and if you're looking for that one, let's go. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Oh, I'd love to talk about that tonight. That'd take all night. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. Just listen to this. Just listen to this. Wouldn't you like to have this kind of faith? You know, where you could just trample over Jericho's walls and walk in and capture the city and go through the Red Sea and not be afraid of anything. What faith these people had. But let's read on. Now what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith, listen to this faith. Here's the faith you want to have. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Oh, have we left faith now? Are we still talking about faith? Is it faith if you go in and if you get hurt, if you get killed, is that still faith? Oh, Paul, I have an article in my files. The Apostle Paul didn't have faith. He didn't have faith because he died in prison. And he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And if you're in prison, if you ever go to jail, you don't have faith. I have that article. I should have brought it and read it to you. It's too foolish and too long to read, really. I just kept it for proof that people do think that way. But I don't think that way. I say this. It was faith that subdued kingdoms. It was faith that wrought righteousness. It was faith that obtained promises. It was faith that stopped the mouths of lions. It was faith that quenched the violence of fire. And it's faith when you're tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And that's what that verse 35 means. Women receive their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. What's the better resurrection? Having your child given back to you because you recanted. That's a resurrection, because that child was as good as dead. The child had the death sentence pronounced on it. If you don't recant, if you don't give up your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to kill your child. But if you recant, you say, I don't believe in God, and they give you your child back, that's a resurrection. And so he says here, they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Not one for 70, but one for eternity. Hallelujah. Which resurrection do you want? Amen. Amen. We might die a little prematurely here from persecution, torture, whatever, but we have eternal life. And if we recant, we can lose that eternal life. And if we stay faithful, not accepting deliverance, we can have eternal life. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. This is faith, folks. They were stoned. Would you say that Stephen lost the faith? He was stoned to death. Or do you think that Stephen looked up and saw Jesus? Hallelujah. Do you think that was faith? Yes, that's faith. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. You talk about faith. That's the kind of faith we need right here among the saints of Pentecostal Assembly in the year 2000. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Oh, there it says it. They had faith. They obtained a good report through faith. Those that were tortured, those that were beaten, those that were executed. A good report through faith received not the promise. Even till death, even at their death, the promise hadn't been fulfilled yet, but they went to the grave in faith, and they will rise with the promise fulfilled. Oh, praise God. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And that's how the Lord merges the Old Testament with the New, and that's another subject which I love to preach and teach on. But excite your faith. Read Hebrews 11 and read both halves. Read both sides of the coin, both sides of the story. Not just the glorious side, but the gory side. Read both sides, because both faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then Jude 1:20, build on your faith. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then enjoy your faith. Enjoy your faith. Enjoy talking to atheists. You know why I enjoy talking to agnostics, skeptics, infidels, atheists? I literally enjoy it. I love it. I just love talking to somebody who has no faith in the existence of God. It's the highlight of my day, my week, my month. I love it. You know why? You know what my secret is? I have more faith, much more faith, than they have unbelief. Did you get that? I have more faith than they have unbelief. They come to you with all their arguments, and I come to them with my faith. They're still studying where they came from. I know where I came from. They're still trying to figure it out. Let's see now, 600 million, how many years? I don't know, but they're trying to figure out where they came from. We already know where we came from through faith. And we don't have any doubts about it. But they can't even agree with each other on how old the earth is. Is that right, brother? They don't agree with each other. Amen. So enjoy your faith. Enjoy talking to atheists. But make sure you have more faith than they have unbelief. Or they could upset your teaching, your doctrine, your belief. Okay, now let's talk about the next gift of the Spirit, the fourth gift, and that's the gift of healing. Like I say, I'm trying to go rapidly. Luke was a physician. Luke was a doctor. A medical doctor, you might say. Luke wrote the book of Acts. So Luke narrated much of the book of Acts. The healings that he recorded were not the result of his training nor his expertise. They were all supernatural, entirely the result of divine power. And Luke, Dr. Luke, the physician, wrote about those miracles. I wonder how that doctor felt. I wonder how he felt. He probably sold his stethoscope and blood pressure machine. And I don't know. Now I know, and I cannot help but refer to this man when I talk about divine healing. I just can't help it. And I know that the name William Marion Branham is not popular today. Our missionaries, our UPC missionaries, tell us that tapes of his sermons have done much damage to our UPC churches in some countries around the world. As I talk to missionaries and healing comes up and that name comes up, and I have been there to the Branham publishing house, I guess you'd call it, in not Louisville, but What's the name of that town, honey? Jeffersonville, Indiana, right across the river from Louisville. Jefferson, Indiana, and they have machines going all the time. They print books, all of his sermons, and I myself just totally disagreed with his doctrine on eschatology. But who are you going to listen to? He had the power to heal. I didn't. You're going to listen to him. Okay? So, but that's not right. He needed to listen to me. That's not arrogant. Because somebody had a gift of healing, and somebody else has a gift of teaching, and somebody else has this, and this, and this. Okay, anyway, follow me here. So, even though the name of William Marion Branham is not very popular today, I was in his meetings personally. And in 1948, I believe it was, and I'll tell you just a story about that, but if he's done much damage, it's because of some things that I hate to even talk about, because he was such a marvelous man. But I know that he fell into false doctrine in his later years. And that doctrine, if you want to know it, was called the serpent seed doctrine. The serpent seed doctrine. It was a deadly doctrine, I thought. And I didn't agree with it at all. I was just aghast when I found out that he was teaching that. And I know he did, because I have a tape of him to this day teaching that doctrine. But although he's been dead for many years, he has an unsolicited following. It wasn't his desire to have people called Branhamites, but we have that large group called Branhamites. I never knew the man personally, but I did attend some of his healing meetings, and I must admit that I saw the supernatural before my eyes. I literally saw it. I saw ambulances lined up one after the other outside the big tent in Vandalia, Illinois. I think the year was 1948. Several of us traveled to Vandalia to take a dying woman from this church to be prayed for by Branham. Her condition was get healed or die. Appeared to be a one-way trip if she wasn't healed. We brought her back to Eau Claire. God gave her many more years. In fact, I can't remember how old she was then, but much younger than 85, which I heard that she died at the age of 85. So whenever I think of the gift of healing, of divine healing, I cannot help but think first of Brother Branham. I feel that I was privileged. I have to be honest, folks. I feel that I was privileged to have seen the things that I saw firsthand with my own eyes. To me, the gift of healing is an expression of God's compassion for the sick and the suffering. And not only that they might be healed, but that they might be saved, and that from eternal suffering. I could describe some of the things that I saw, but I don't need to spend that time. But I saw ambulances lined up for, it seemed like a block or more. And I saw those guys standing there, the driver of the ambulance, leaning there and saying, well, you know, I brought this person here, and man, how futile that was, you know, and what their opinion of what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, cigarette falls out of their mouth, you know, when they see that person who was on a stretcher come dancing back to the car and pay the bill and say, you can go now. I'm going home with my friends. Praise the Lord. I saw things like that. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Praise God. Now, changing that subject, I don't claim to have the gift of healing. But as you, I have had some healings in my own body. How many have ever been healed? It'd be fun just to go around here and see what the most serious sickness was that somebody was healed of. I know that I was healed 3 times. That I can count, specific healings that I know were healed. I was healed by God. And I have also prayed for a few others, as many of you have, that have been supernaturally healed. How many have ever prayed for somebody and they got healed? A lot of you. Yes. Amen. And that's exciting. I'll just tell you one story. And a lot of you should know this man. The man was Louis Buckley, probably a charter member of this church. And it was the year 19, and I can't remember exactly, honey. But my wife and I were asked to go to St. Louis, Missouri, to pray for this man, Louis Buckley, who was dying with prostate cancer, which had spread to his bones. We made the trip. When I went into his bedroom and saw the shell of a man I once knew as strong and healthy, a builder, I backed quietly out of the room. I walked in. He was sleeping or unconscious. I don't know. I just went back out of the room. We fasted and prayed 2 days. We had to come back. But he was emaciated. He was hemorrhaging internally. He weighed 85 pounds. His wife was in the kitchen discussing funeral plans with my wife. For 2 days, we fasted and prayed and waited on Jesus. While reading the Bible during this time and meditating on the Lord, a verse in Psalm 118 was quickened to me. And I rose to my feet, and with confidence that I had a word from the Lord for my good friend, I re-entered the bedroom. Brother Buckley, this is Brother Tanberg, and I've come to pray for you. But first, I would like to read a portion of Scripture to you. Oh, please do. Please do. He's a very mild man, sweet man. And so I started reading. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. He's listening intently. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let now them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Twice. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord help me. The Lord is my strength and song. Now he's laying there in the bed, emaciated, dying, bleeding inside, taken home to die, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. And here is the verse, Psalm 118, verse 17. This is the verse that the Lord quickened to me to give to Louis Buckley. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Stop! It seemed that he mustered all the strength that he had and rose up to a near sitting position. I knew that verse was in the Bible. No one could seem to find it for me. And if I would remember this, I'd tell you something about tongues interpretation. No one could seem to find it for him, and he laid back down in his bed. I was told that he had already ordered two other preachers out of his sight when they prayed that he would have a peaceful, painless passing. Get out of here. I don't want to hear that. He told him to leave. He said, I don't want to die. I want to live. He was 75 years old. This all took place in the month of July. 5 months later, we received a Christmas card from his wife. Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming to pray for Louis. He's back to his normal weight. He's back on the job laying cement blocks and so forth. God gave Louis 10 more years of life on earth. He died at age 85. Wouldn't you think that that was divine, supernatural? I do. I didn't think it was an accident or a coincidence or that he would have gotten better anyway. What God can do for you. Oh, what God can do for you. Amen. Now, please understand that I do not claim to have the gift. Healing was according to his faith. And his faith seemed to be in Psalm 118, verse 17, which he had lost track of. And he couldn't explain it well enough for somebody to find it for him. I don't claim any super spirituality on my part. According to your faith, be it unto you. Let me tell you one more story quickly here. Some of you know Janelle DeKruger. You see, I'm not telling these stories about somebody that you don't know. I'm telling these stories about somebody that you don't. So you can verify them to see if I'm telling you the truth. Florence Kastner, and I almost brought a letter over that I just got from her daughter, who is expecting Florence to die, and they want me to do a memorial service. So that's pending. But anyway, this is years and years ago. It was when the Bennetts lived in Knoxville, Iowa. So, and Sister Tamberg and I were returning from Knoxville, Iowa after visiting the Bennetts. It was quite late, Saturday evening. And when I came to the stoplight at Highway 37 in Claremont Ave, I felt an awful tugging on my heart. I said to my wife as I looked to the right oblique where the Sacred Heart Hospital was located, I said, "Honey, I feel this strong tugging on my heart from the hospital. I don't know what to do." And so I hesitated. I lingered at the stoplight for a minute and then decided to drive on home. When we drove into the garage, my wife, who has better hearing than I do, heard the telephone ringing, jumped out of the car, rushed into the house, answered the phone before I had time to put the car in park and cut the engine. She hurried back to the car and said, "Honey, we got to go to the hospital right now." When we arrived at the hospital, I was scared and praying because my wife told me that the sister, that's Janelle, of a member of our church, my wife told me that the sister of a member of our church was dying and asked if we would come and pray for her. Well, you better believe that I was praying on that elevator and walking the hall. I'm just a human being. I don't have the gift of healing. And here's a person dying, and what are you going to do? When we entered the room, we saw and heard her gasping for every breath she took, even with the oxygen mask on. I spoke the word of God for a moment, and there's more to the story. Her husband, unbelieving, and her son were there, and I dealt with them. But it seemed that she had some relief, and I did too. You know, when you pray for somebody, Brother Clickner, it's relieving when you see something happen, isn't it? Yes. So she was able to take the oxygen mask off for a few breaths and then had to put it back on. Well, we stayed and visited a while. And the healing wasn't as complete as we had hoped for, but at least a slight improvement, for which we were thankful. I preached the next morning and gave the usual altar call. The response was great that Sunday morning. But when I looked over the large group of folks standing in the altar area, I noticed a face that I had seen before. It was Florence Kastner, the woman we had prayed for in the hospital the night before. That's in the stone building. She stood before the pulpit that morning and began to speak with other tongues as she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. As a result, other people were saved. But the last I've heard, she's still alive, and that's, I wrote this before the letter came, and the letter has come. And the reason I'm relating these true stories is to attempt to build up our faith in our loving, compassionate Savior. I make a statement. Jesus is trying to win our confidence. Desperately trying to win our confidence. I want to be reminded that he's the one who lives and was dead and said, "Behold, I am alive forevermore." Praise the Lord. Our time is up. Can we stand? If anybody needs the supernatural tonight, like I said, if